السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen, our receivers, a few weeks ago we were discussing a hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not one hadith sharif, in fact many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and some Quranic verses related to an incident in the life of Hazrat Shaqi Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi and Hazrat Hatim Asam rahmatullah alayhi. So Hazrat Hatim Asam rahmatullah alayhi had said that I had learned 8 lessons in my 33 years with you. We were discussing those 8 lessons that he had learned, but we haven't been able to complete that. But just to take you a little further back, because we have a new audience on a public holiday here, that Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, everyone knows his caliber, what a great scholar he was. Many, many people, they quote Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh in their works. He had been through the mill, he had been through all different ulum and funoon, all the different sciences he had studied. And then we know that finally he chose the line of tasawwuf. But this is not the time to go into a discussion of that. But one of his students who had studied many years under him and had mastered the different sciences, that student wrote a letter to him. And I discussed this briefly in some talk of mine years ago, if I recall correctly. So he had written a letter to him and he had said that, I know that I have studied your kitabs and many other ahadith, many tafasir of the Quran Sharif, many commentaries of the Quran Sharif, many commentaries of the Hadith Sharif literature. But I want some guidance in a nutshell, very, very brief, as to exactly what my purpose of life is and what must I do now in my life. He says, I know I have read your kitabs, Ihya ul-Ulum, Kimya Sa'adat, Jawahir ul-Quran, and so many other kitabs he mentioned. There's no time to go into details. And all those kitabs contain great amount of nasihat, great amount of guidance for the seeker of truth. However, I want something very brief, concise, comprehensive, as to what I should be really doing with my life. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, I'm just giving you the gist of that whole long lengthy letter. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said that it is indeed sad that after having read so much you still cannot seem to find your way. Nevertheless, it is not really necessary for a person to have the knowledge of so much of different sciences. What is really important is to know that Allah Ta'ala is his creator, and that he is accountable and answerable for all his actions and deeds in this world before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. He has to follow the Quran and Sunnah for his guidance, and to that effect he gave him a few nasihats. And then he said one very beautiful thing which I have discussed at length in some majlis of mine. He said that alamat i'rad Allah Ta'ala anil abd ishtighaluhu bima la ya'ni. that what is the sign that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has turned away His glance of mercy and maghfirat from a person. There must be some sign that Allah Ta'ala has become displeased, He has turned away His glance of mercy. We all keep on asking for the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but there are many different ways of drawing the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For example, in one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in one dua, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma arhamni bi tarkil ma'asi, wa la tushqini bi ma'asiyatik. Allahumma arhamni bi tarkil ma'asi. That means, the meaning of which is, that O Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, have mercy upon me by blessing me with the tawfiq of giving up sins. That means if you want mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that that is the way to draw the mercy of Allah ta'ala, that the person gives up sins. Not just reading wazifas, reading tasbihat and making subhanallah, alhamdulillah and saying shukar Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for all the ni'mats you have given, but then he uses all those very ni'mats again for the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. So wala tushqini bi masiyatik, again it means that we keep on saying that I don't wish to be an unfortunate person, I do not wish to be a cursed person, I do not wish to be a person who is deprived of the goodness of this world and the akhirat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying wala tushqini bi masiyatik, that means if the person is in sins, then he is the unfortunate person, because now he is going to get the wrath of Allah ta'ala. So to draw the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was again the obedience to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi quotes this hadith sharif that the sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has turned away His glance of mercy from a person is that that person begins to occupy himself in things which are absolutely futile and useless. Look at the World Cup. Did anybody from here get any share of that World Cup? Did they send some dollars after having watched it for hours and hours and hours? So look at the valuable time that was wasted. Absolutely useless. Nothing of value. If the person had gone onto some site on the internet, for example, and learned something about geography or history or some science or some technology, then it will say it was useful. At least he could have done something with it in this world. But those things in which a person engages, which is absolutely useless and futile, it does not help in his family life, does not help in his daily life, does not help in any way in this world or the akhirat, then that is a sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away His glance of mercy from this person. And to get that mercy again, there's no other way but to turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Again, He's so forgiving, so merciful, so kind, that if the person says, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, I wasted my valuable time, Allah Ta'ala will say, well, at least you came back. He's prepared to accept the person in any condition as long as he sincerely repents. But that is the alamat, that is the sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away His glance. So when a person is occupying himself in absolutely useless and futile activities, then he must know that at that moment he is not under the shade of the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and anything can happen. Now we can just discuss that and go on and on, but then he says that a person, if he has spent a little while also in that for which he has not been created, then it will be a cause of regret on the day of Qiyamah. Now we have been created for ibadat. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have been created for ibadat. So he says that if a person is occupied in anything even for a little while, in that for which he was not created, then he will regret it on the day of Qiyamah. So then we will say, then ibadat, how can we be 24 hours in ibadat? So this again I've explained many, many times, and I will go on explaining that ibadat is not just salat, zakat. Ibadat is not just reading tasbih. Your earning of your livelihood, if it is in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, then it is ibadat. If it is not affecting the salat, if there's honesty in the trade, if there is no cheating, no deceiving, if there is no hiding of defects in the garment, and if there is no fraudulent transaction, if the person is concerned that it must be Sharia compliant, so then that itself becomes ibadat. The person is marrying, now he's talking cheerfully with his wife, with his children, he's discussing certain things which may have no real relevance, but he is trying to put happiness into the heart of his wife and his children. And they are of those things which are permissible to discuss, mubah things. then he will get sawab and reward even on that. That becomes ibadat. When somebody's parents are sick and ailing, or wife and children sick and ailing and they require assistance and help, take them to the doctors, bring medication, then that will become ibadat. To help the poor, the needy, the destitute, the orphans, the widows, those in need, again will become ibadat. Then at the time of salat, to perform the salat will be ibadat. At the time to give dawat ilallah, that will be ibadat. Everything has got a place in Islam and everything will become ibadat. So if the person is again, which it means occupied in something that is useless, futile, then it will again be a cause of loss. And then the third thing which affects many, many of us who have passed over 40 years of age. How many people in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have passed the 40 years of their life? And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that the person who passes 40 years of his life, and then too, if his good deeds do not overweigh or outweigh the bad deeds, then this person must prepare himself for the fire of hell. 40 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. The intelligence of a person, now when did we expect him to become really intelligent? We say that the person has matured completely at 40 years of age. So if the person, even at the age of 40 and past 40, the person is still not conscious of the fact that life is running out and whatever has to be done today. Tomorrow could be too late. I must do that which is pleasing to my Creator and abstain from that which is displeasing to Him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after 40 also, if this person is engaging in discos and cinemas and rave clubs, after 40 also, if this person is still watching the filth on the television screen and the porn sites on the internet, or if this person still is negligent in his salat and in the giving of his zakat and in fasting in Ramadan, 40 years have gone and this person is still occupying his time in those places which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is displeased with, then what else must he prepare for except the fire of Jahannam? So can we say then that Allah Ta'ala is very, very unjust, na'uzu billah, or Allah Ta'ala really loves to punish people, that's why He's sending them to the fire of Jahannam? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif very, very clearly, what will Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gain if you are obedient to Him, if you worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if you believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if you make shukr over the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gain in giving punishment? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not going to gain anything. It is just for disciplining us that sometimes He sends down some kind of disasters so that we get up from our slumber and sleep. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person who has passed his 40 years of life, and still if his good deeds do not outweigh his bad deeds, that means he's still indulging in a lot of evil, then he must prepare himself for the azab of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala does not want to send him. Allah Ta'ala is giving warning signs at the age of 40. Still, if he's not taking those warning signs, then when will he take it? Is he going to start getting younger by the day? Now he must think that the life, 40 years have melted away. He does not know what is left. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh, he has said how clearly, Ho rahi hai zindagi misla barf kam, chupka chupke rafta rafta dam badam. That life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, drop by drop, drop by drop. Look at the number of people who have left this world suddenly over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must make their maghfirat. This morning again after Fajr I received a call. 3 people, young people, they were traveling. And all 3 passed away in an accident. Could be a form of shahadat for them. But what a lesson for us. So these people were all under 40. So what about those who are over 40? Nevertheless, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is very, very clear. ishmashita fa innaka mayyitun, ishmashita fa innaka mayyitun, wa ahbib ma shi'ta fa innaka mufariquhu, wa'mal ma shi'ta fa innaka tujza bihi. One hadith sharif is sufficient if you want to really make our Islam. Ishma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. How long are we going to live? Say, live as long as you wish to live, but one day you are going to die. You are going to pass away. You are not going to live here forever and ever. Every morning when our eyes open, then look at our buildings, look at our cars, look at our properties, and visualize and picture our bank balances and all the investments which we have made throughout the world and the countries of the world. Just picture that and then close our eyes again and think that that is life and death. In a little while, kya ho gaya zamane ko chal diye na dua na salam. In a little while, finish, everything is over. So we don't say that you must not make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, or don't have investments, don't plan ahead. That is permissible. It is Islam, it is Sharia, it's a beautiful way of life in which everything, there is a balance. We are not told to give away everything and live without anything at home. But don't put our hearts into all those things that we are accumulating around us. Remember this hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ishma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. You will become a mayyit one day, no matter how long the person lives. And that is what Hazrat Khaja sahab rahmatullah alayhi, so many times you have heard, kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai, ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. And I have explained in the majlis of zikr this poetry, that exactly the same thing the disbelievers say, exactly the same thing the atheist says, exactly the same thing the socialist and the communist says, that do whatever you have to do, ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai, that one day you are going to die, so do whatever you have to do. But the Muslim, when he says it, it has a different meaning altogether. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given you, O Muslim, that is what it means. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us a life. And this life is not in our control. We do not know how many days or years or months are left of our life. So whatever has to be done now. I still recall having read that article in 1994, just about the election time, that there was a conference, economic conference in Johannesburg, and there a person was lecturing. And then he was, whilst talking on what is going to happen after transition and the changes that will take place and all the rest of it, he said that whatever has to be done now. Tomorrow could be too late. These were exactly his last words. Whatever has to be done now, today. Tomorrow could be too late. And he collapsed and he died. The newspaper reported that he choked on a chewing gum. Now, where did he have chewing gum in his mouth at that time when he was giving a speech? Or whatever it is, but they say he choked on a chewing gum. So whether that choking on the chewing gum caused his death or whatever caused his death, but the fact is that he said, do whatever you have to do now, tomorrow could be too late. So what I'm saying is that this is exactly what the communists, the atheists, the disbelievers also say, that how much you want to enjoy life, enjoy it now. Tomorrow could be too late. Commit as much adultery and fornication and drink and gamble as much as you want. Go to the rave clubs and discos and pop as many drugs as you can and go on to a high as much as you can, because tomorrow is going to be too late, you are going to die. So enjoy it before you turn to dust. And the Muslim says that no, what it means is that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with a life, and how much of this life is left I do not know. And every day is very precious and very valuable, and every minute of my life it has got no price tag on it. So therefore I must make the best of my life. Eat, drink, be cheerful, talk to your family, wife, children, play with the children, earn your livelihood, make use of the bounties and ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala within the parameters of Sharia. Halal enjoyment and entertainment is permissible, make use of it, no problem. But only thing, don't displease that very Allah whose bounties you are using. That Allah who has given us our sight and our hearing and our speech, we use the same thing for His disobedience. So that is what is meant. Kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai. Because we are believers that there is a day of judgment. And we are answerable and accountable for every action and every deed of ours. And the more a Muslim and a believer is going to engage in haram and in sinful pleasures, the more Allah Ta'ala will make his life restless. He will never taste the sweetness of sukoon in his life. He will not even know what it is all about. The person will be, his heart will be engulfed with so many different kinds of worries and problems and restlessness. Irrespective of all the outside wealth and good home and luxury mansion and everything else. But inside the heart there will be the fire of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, azab that will be burning it. And for the true believer and the person who is obedient to Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says, come what may, I will take the pain on my heart of restraining myself from haram. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him sukoon in his life. Irrespective of outside conditions. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him sukoon. So he says, ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyatun. Wa ahbib ma shi'ta fa innaka mufariquhu. Love whatsoever you wish to and love whomsoever you wish to. But finally you are going to separate. Either we will separate from our beloved or the beloved will separate from us. But we haven't seen up till now any person that is clinging on to his beloved when he's going to the grave also. That is taking his beloved to the grave. Or the beloved was very happy to accompany him to the grave. Nothing. Everything will remain on the outside. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ تُجْزَى بِهِ. Do whatever you wish to do. We are told that we can do whatever we wish to do because Allah Ta'ala has given us a willpower. Allah Ta'ala does not want to force us into submission, which He can do. Allah Ta'ala could have appointed angels that the moment the person is going to commit adultery or commit fornication or watch some filth, the angel gives him such a tight slap that his face turns the other way around. Then will anybody commit adultery? But Allah Ta'ala does not want to force us into submission like that. Otherwise there is no question of test and trial. Those great, great ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has promised, it is for those who pass the test. And our tests are very, very simple. It is not difficult at all. And at the end of the day, who is going to be the beneficiary of that? Ourselves. So he says, do whatever you wish to do, you will be rewarded for it. You will be given the punishment or the good rewards. The person has done good thing, he will be blessed with goodness. And the person who is engaging in evil, then he is going to suffer the consequences. So now this Hadith Sharif, he says, sufficient for the amal of a person. So if they say that today is a freedom day, then what did we really get freedom from? We will say indeed that apartheid laws were unjust and alhamdulillah to some extent now we got out of those apartheid restrictions and unjust legislation and discrimination. But then did it give us true freedom? I'm talking about believers, I'm talking about the Muslims. What freedom did we really get? The true Muslim is the Muslim when he gets freedom from the chains and the shackle of his nafs and shaitan. Then he has got real freedom. Otherwise he hasn't got freedom. We will never be able to say that we are free until the day of Qiyamah. Or until the day that we are going to leave this world, can any Muslim say that he is free to do whatever he wishes to? Can he say that I can drink whatever I want to? I can eat whatever I wish to? I can associate with whichever woman I wish to? I can go and visit any kind of club and any kind of disco and cinema and rave club? Can any Muslim say that? A true Muslim. He has surrendered himself to the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by virtue of his recitation of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now he has submitted himself by saying la ilaha illallah. He has submitted himself, he surrendered himself. He says, Ya Allah, now I am your slave. Now whatever you say is permissible, I will engage in. If you say it is haram, I will stay away from. So Allah ta'ala placed certain restrictions and said that these are the borders. Don't cross these borders. These are the fences which you must not go across. Don't drink, don't gamble, don't commit adultery, fornication, don't steal, don't speak lies, don't take false oaths and qasams. Just a few things. So many other things, all permissible and halal. And then, what will Allah Ta'ala give if the person keeps himself within those boundaries? Allah Ta'ala will give him in the akhirat, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَعَتْ وَلَا أُزُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought also which hasn't crossed any person's mind, that will be in the hereafter. But even in this world, it is a promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala will give that person sukoon in his heart. He will give him sweetness of iman in his heart. He will give him hayate tayyiba. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاتٌ طَيِّبًا. And the person who is going to make i'raz is going to turn away. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ظَنْكَ. Then his life will be straightened and tightened and narrowed. The person will have everything, but he'll have no peace and no happiness and no contentment and no satisfaction. So freedom in its place. سُكُونَ جَهَاں تُمْ کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سُكُونَ جَهَاں تُمْ کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ. If you really want sukoon, where are you searching for that freedom and that sukoon? It is in the Nizam of Madina Sharif. That means what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we are going to follow and obey that, then we will find sukoon in our lives. And he says, Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahase. Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahase. Jo ho jaye dil se ghulame madina. That is azadi. That is real freedom. When the person will ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to shackle him, to chain him tight in the chains of his love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So outwardly it will appear that this person has been shackled and is tight. People will say that what kind of enjoyment is in the life of this person? We don't see him in the discos and cinemas and rave clubs. And when he walks into our house, we have to switch off the television if there is a nice beautiful picture that is going on. What kind of life is this? No music in their lives. They say no music, what kind of life they have? But what do these stupid foolish people know, that what kind of music Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to them, kind of a music which gives them such sukoon, such happiness, such contentment. In the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, in the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the reading of the kitabs of ahadith and the other beautiful tafaseer and literature of Islam, the person gets such kind of sukoon. And then in the obedience to Allah Ta'ala, whether it is in his home life, in his business life, the person is relaxed and is content and is happy and is satisfied. He's not worried and he's not scared, he is not in fear of death. At present we have been caught up with such kind of fear that we just don't know what to do. Natural fear is natural. Even if a huge dog or a big lion has to suddenly roar, then can be a waliullah also, he'll move back. That is natural. But this fear that we just don't want to leave this world and go to the akhirat. And if the angel of the death has to suddenly visit us, then we'll say, I'm not ready. Now these people who are obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they say, come, har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. They say, oh Allah, every desire of my heart has now left me. The only desire that is left in my heart is that my Allah, you come into my heart. I have emptied my heart for you. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and give the ummah at large true freedom. Freedom from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. Freedom from the bondage of nafs and shaitan. When the person will shackle himself with the love of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he will enjoy true freedom. Wallah, he will enjoy true freedom. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring in his heart such kind of sukoon, which I keep on saying that the kings also don't know of. But for everything there is a little bit of effort that one has to make, and here there's not much effort to make. It is just that take that, use that willpower and suppress those evil desires, and then see how Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of His mercy and rahmat and forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problem of the ummah around the globe, and the conditions of drought and famine and AIDS and everything else that is crippling mankind, wherever it may be. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ